Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Hi, everybody. Now, one of New York City's mayoral candidates is not convinced that global warming is real. Want to know which one? Only one of the candidates wants to shut down Indian Point. Only one is for the 91st Street Waste Transfer Station over by the East River there. And none of them would either endorse nor oppose the Major League Soccer Stadium proposed for Flushing Meadows Corona Park. Those were some of the headlines for me at New York City Mayoral Candidates Forum on environmental issues that I moderated last night at Cooper Union, sponsored by the League of Conservation Voters and the Cooper Union Institute on Sustainable Design. So we will play some excerpts to begin this hour and talk about them with the president of the League of Conservation Voters Education Fund, who was there and organized this event, Marcia Bistrin. Hi, Marcia. Welcome to WNYC.
Glad to be here.
And thanks for inviting me to moderate last night. It was really illuminating for me as a voter. I learned a lot about the candidates on environmental issues, and I also love working on that historic stage, in the Great Hall at Cooper Union.
Well, you're a pro at this. I think you made it happen last night, Brian.
Well, they made it happen, and the issues make it happen. So let's dive right in on one of the headlines I mentioned. Only Christine Quinn, the Democratic City Council Speaker, called for the closing of the Indian Point nuclear power plant. I asked how she would replace the energy.
Well, we replace energy in a number of different ways. One, we aggressively continue to do energy conservation. Two, just last week we passed legislation to do a study which will give us mapping around where we can tap into geothermal energy. Three, we need to continue to move forward on other types of alternative energy power in the city and really redouble our energy conservation. But I think the idea of moving New York City to the answer to being reliant on nuclear energy is something that just adds another unsafe, dangerous energy supply into a system when we want to be moving to cleaner, safer energy systems.
Christine Quinn last night. So, Marcy, were you surprised by that? Did you know their positions on Indian Point going in? And I admit I did. You know, the difference between a lawyer and a journalist is a lawyer is never supposed to ask a question that he doesn't know the answer
exactly.
to. And a journalist is supposed to have curiosity. So I actually did not know their positions on Indian Point going in or that only Quinn would endorse the movement to shut it down.
I wasn't aware of their positions either. I mean, it's an interesting issue from an environmental perspective. It's a complex issue because clearly there are challenges of a nuclear plant proximate to a major metropolis. On the other hand, from an environmental and a climate perspective, any replacement power for Indian Point is going to generate more pollution and it's going to have more CO2 impacts. So it's a complicated decision.
I didn't keep pushing her on how much that would cost for energy ratepayers or how realistic it is. Does your group have a position on that, or are you interested in exploring the complexity as you just did?
You know, I mean, there are three major things. There's a cost to the ratepayer, and there's reliability. We don't speak to either of those because that's not our expertise. But the environmental issue is a real one, and I have asked the Cuomo administration how would they replace the power and what the environmental and climate impacts would be of that. So that's an open question. They have to get back to me.
Because Cuomo is pretty down on Indian Point.
He's pretty adamant about wanting it closed.
Yeah. Another of the headlines, and that's interesting too, because he only gets one of the mayoral candidates to line up with a position that they have some cover for, in a sense, because the governor is for it.
Exactly. Frankly, they have no control over whether or not Indian Point is shut down.
Another of the headlines, and again, it's Quinn. There's a big debate over a waste transfer station for East 91st Street in Manhattan, and only Speaker Quinn supported building the station there as a matter largely of environmental equity. So Manhattan is currently the only borough without a waste transfer station. Can you explain why that is? I mean, no one wants such a facility in their backyards. As I said in setting up the question last night, poor Staten Island was saddled with fresh kills for so long, taking basically all of the waste that stayed in the city. So what's the issue here?
You know, you're absolutely right. No one ever wants a garbage facility in their neighborhood. And the real brilliance of the solid waste management plan was because it shared the pain, it got everyone to agree to the concept that each borough would take care of its own waste. And the way they were going to do that was to retrofit the marine transfer stations, which would get trucks off the road and would be a plus for environmental justice communities. Nobody wanted their marine transfer station retrofitted, in particular the folks at 91st Street don't want theirs. We understand why they don't want it. But the position of the league is that unless this holds together completely, if you pull out one piece, the whole thing falls apart because the equity issue falls apart.
And marine transfer station means they're trucking garbage from around Manhattan and loading it onto some kind of barge in the East River?
Right, which is the way they used to do it before Fresh Kills was closed.
And here's the leading Republican hopeful, Joe Loda, taking the other side. I'm playing this because Quinn didn't really lay it out. She made the statement, and nobody else would back her up on this. So Loda was kind of the most articulate, arguing that the current setup is not environmental discrimination. But again, I stress, all the other Democrats other than Quinn seem to agree with Loda here.
Putting garbage trucks through a park where 70,000 public school children go to play each and every year and each and every week is wrong. There should not be trucks going through there. And it does not. It is in no way, shape, or form environmental racism, as other people have said it is, because the fact is Manhattan garbage isn't going to go to another borough. It's going to New Jersey. Great.
Great. But you don't like this trucking and shipping of waste to New Jersey because it has environmental consequences,
well,
right?
Well, you know, let me – I'm going to step back from that. It's very easy to wish your problems away on New Jersey. The fact of the matter is some of New York Manhattan's waste goes to the waste-to-energy facility in New Jersey. That's lower Manhattan. The rest of Manhattan doesn't at this moment in time. Look, you can wax poetic about the children at Asphalt Green, but there are children around the marine transfer stations in the rest of the city and the other boroughs as well, around the land-based transfer stations in the Bronx.
Is it true?
Sunset Park.
Can't we find places to put waste transfer facilities that aren't where children play, like around Asphalt Green?
There is no ideal place to put it. Life is filled with compromises, and one of the real challenges in managing the city's solid waste is figuring out the best way from an economic, environmental, and an equity perspective of how you divvy up pain.
My guest is Marcia Bistrin. She's the president of the League of Conservation Voters Education Fund, one of the sponsors of the Mayoral Candidates Forum that I moderated last night at Cooper Union, which also sponsored the forum on environmental issues. And I want to play another clip of Joe Loda. And for people catching up on the race, Joe Loda was the former MTA chairman, was given a lot of credit for doing a good job during and after Sandy, now running for mayor as a Republican. He was a deputy mayor in the Giuliani administration and a budget director for Giuliani. And he's certainly a serious contender for the Republican nomination and presenting himself as a very serious candidate for the election versus any Democrat. And so here's another Loda clip that I thought was newsworthy. I asked the three Republicans, him and George McDonald, president of the Doe Fund, and John Catsimatidis, the supermarket magnate, if they would echo the Republican presidential hopefuls from last year who always denounced the EPA in their debates, that endless series of Republican presidential debates, and they denounced environmentalists in general as anti-business. So all three of the local Republicans distanced themselves from the national party on this. Here is part of Loda's response. And unfortunately, there's some kind of a cell phone buzz in this clip, but it's worth listening to anyway.
I don't share that view whatsoever with the national party. I not only disagree with them on social issues, I disagree with them on environmental issues. The fact of the matter is, done properly, environmental and sustainable efforts and sustainability can also be about new jobs, new technologies, and expanding the economy. That's the absolute direction we have to go in.
So that wasn't exactly Michelle Bachmann.
Absolutely not. Listen, this is fabulous. Environment is not a partisan issue. It shouldn't be, and it's clearly not with people running for mayor in the city of New York.
And it is in Washington, but you're right, it's clearly not after last night with people running for mayor in the city of New York, although Catsimatidis dissented on a number of particulars, which we'll get to. They all promised to double recycling, including the Republicans and the Democrats, and Carrion, who's from the Independence Party. They all promised to reduce carbon emissions, and none of them would name in that same stretch even one environmental regulation that they found too onerous. Did you notice that moment?
Nobody volunteered.
When I said, does anybody want to mention an environmental regulation that's too onerous for people or businesses in New York City? So from your standpoint with the League of Conservation Voters, you must see the future of sustainability in New York as pretty bright based on the current crop of candidates.
Listen, I am delighted. You know, every one of those candidates, as we discussed, have committed to kicking up Plan YC a notch.
Plan YC being the mayor's.
Which is the mayor's sustainability plan, which the broad environmental community embraces. It's the first time this city has articulated a comprehensive sustainability agenda that is integrated into the economic development perspective of the city. So it's embedded in what really makes this city move. And the fact that every candidate wants to take it from. You were critical of Mayor Bloomberg for simply setting the table but not really delivering on the issue. So we are thrilled.
Let's hear what some of the other candidates had to say. One of former Comptroller Bill Thompson's strongest moments, I thought, came when he talked about equity for parks. In other words, with so many neighborhood parks around the city not having the private money that keeps Central and Prospect Parks in tip-top shape. He'll mention the term P3s here, which refers to money from public-private partnerships. Bill Thompson.
It's great to have a park that's within a 10-minute walk, but if you look at some of the parks that exist, they aren't fit to walk into. And so we have to make sure that there is equity across the system, that where those, in a number of places where we push P3s and a number of ways those public-private partnerships be able to use additional dollars and spread that out across a region or across a borough, but also look for other sponsorship opportunities for the private sector to be able to deal with our parks. But right now, it really is a second-class. There's so many parks that are treated as second-class citizens. But we can't allow that to continue.
Bill Thompson, so does the League have a parks agenda? Is there any way to actually bring equity between Central Park and some park in the South Bronx?
You know, I think the key thing here is that we have to look at an array of financing mechanisms. There's certain parks like Central Park where private dollars are going to come almost automatically. They're not going to come automatically to the smaller parks in the outer boroughs. Those are the parks that the city has to commit to fund. And then you have to look at an array of other financing mechanisms to fund those parks where there are opportunities for private dollars.
Listeners, anybody want to weigh in on the clips that we're hearing of the mayoral candidates forum on environmental issues last night, or raise anything or ask a question for Marcia or myself, who were there through the whole thing, obviously? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. I mentioned Catsimatidis as an outlier, again, running for the Republican nomination for mayor, billionaire. Owner of the Red Apple Group, which owns Gristiti Supermarkets, among other things. And at the very beginning, I asked all the nine candidates to raise their hands if they believe that man-made global warming is real and therefore the city needs to address carbon emissions in municipal policies. And eight of the nine raised their hands, saying yes to that question. Only Catsimatidis did not. So I asked him, why not?
I think the Earth has existed for billions of years, and I'm certainly concerned about global warming. But I think we have to really, really study it to see if it's a result of what we're doing.
So as you could hear, some members of the audience were not too pleased with his uncertainty about whether people are causing that. But he did then go on
Absolutely.
To endorse most of the same policies. So if you really parse his words in that clip, He seems to be saying the warming is happening. He's not sure if human activities are causing it, but then he went on to endorse the enhanced recycling and some other, you know, green buildings,
listen,
things
was,
like that.
He was supportive of reducing CO2 emissions. And, you know, frankly, that's what I'm focusing on right now, what your commitments are in terms of public policy.
All right. The Independence Party candidate and former Bronx Spur president and Obama Urban Affairs appointee, Adolfo Carrion, was on the panel. He's got his nomination, so he's not running in a primary. He'll be the Independence Party candidate in November, no matter what. And I think his strongest moment probably came in response to a question from Al Appleton from the Cooper Union Institute of Sustainable Design, who kind of challenged the candidates to put an industrial strength sustainability plan on
the
table.
Fabulous question.
Industrial strength. So, Adolfo Carrion.
We need to be energy efficient and energy independent. We need smart meters, charging stations for electric cars. We need a green building code. We need green agencies. We need green fleets for our agencies. We need a smart growth strategy. We need transit-oriented development, which is part of a sustainability initiative. And we need to begin to retool our education department so that it trains our kids, prepares our kids for green-collar jobs. And here's the big hit to close. When I was at the White House working at the Office of Urban Affairs, I suggested something to the president. We started to look at it around the country. We need urban vertical farms so that we have grow food right here in our city between the source and the customer.
All right. The skyscraper of farms.
Visionary, visionary. Listen, we're looking for every candidate to spell out a similar agenda on their website by this Friday when we're going to drive our membership to those websites to check them out.
When we come back in a minute, we will start taking some of our many calls. You know, as soon as we mentioned the topic here a moment ago and that the phones were open, bang, all our lines are lit. We have some more clips to play from this mayoral candidate forum, including on the topic that is making the most news today out of the forum. Stay tuned and you'll find out what that is. Brian Lehrer on WNYC as we listen to some excerpts from a mayoral candidates forum on environmental issues that I moderated last night for the League of Conservation Voters and the Cooper Union Institute on Sustainable Design at the Great Hall at Cooper Union. Got to work at that famous Lincoln podium from which he gave a speech one time. It gives you chills just to have the opportunity once in your life to walk up there and work at that podium. And with the five major Democratic mayoral hopefuls for New York City, the three major Republican hopefuls, and the Independence Party candidate, Adolfo Carrion. We'll go to your phone calls in just a minute. Here's another of the newsworthy moments. Oh, and my guest, as we talk through these clips, is the president of the League of Conservation Voters Education Fund, Marcia Bistron, who invited me to do this. Another of the newsworthy moments came when I asked the candidates to raise their hands if they solidly support the Major League Soccer Stadium for Flushing Meadows Corona Park. And I see on Capital New York's website, they broke that out as the story emerging from the event last night. Nobody raised their hand. Again, I asked them to raise their hands if they solidly support the Major League Soccer Stadium for Flushing Meadows Corona Park. Nobody raised their hand. But when I asked who solidly opposed the stadium, nobody raised their hands. So this is an issue because some parks advocates don't want any more parkland in Flushing Meadows seized for commercial or private purposes, while many communities, including many immigrant communities from all over the world who live in Queens, would love to see Major League Soccer along the number 7 line right near City Field there. John Liu, who used to represent Flushing in City Council, talked about his ambivalence.
I think the ambivalence comes – look, when they talk about alienating parkland for a stadium, they always make promises of making sure that the parkland is restored in another different part of the borough or even the city. Unfortunately, under this administration, we have seen a couple of other stadiums that have been built, and the parks facilities and spaces not being made available to the public until a huge amount of public pressure was put bare on the administration. So there's a credibility factor here, and I think I certainly, in the case of the MLS, the Major League Soccer stadium that's being proposed, and I do believe the administration is pushing it behind the scenes, I do not think overall it's a good idea because they haven't shown us exactly where they're going to restore the parkland.
So leaning against it, clearly, though he wouldn't rule it out.
Well, exactly. It sounds like also like the beginning of a negotiation.
Yeah. So that's really interesting. All right. Let's hear what some of our callers are reacting to. Paul on the Upper West Side, interested in that waste transfer station, proposed for 91st Street. Hi, Paul.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, what's up?
Question. In regards to the transfer station on 91st Street, you know, there's been a lot of conversation about how there's no perfect place for it. And being a lifelong resident of Yorkville, the Upper East Side, I can't understand it. I mean, and I have a daughter, 7 years old, who plays at the Asphalt Green. I just don't understand how they have this transfer station going in a place where there's such a high, tight residential area. I mean, there's the perfect solution, in my opinion, would be Randall's or Ward's Island, which is just across the water. And that's centrally located, like to the Bronx and Queens. Like, they could even utilize that. I mean, I don't understand why they can't put that on Randall's Island. I understand there's a lot of playgrounds and stuff over there and,
right,
and fields.
Well, let me ask Marcia, is the simple answer because first you have to get it off Manhattan, which means it can't get to Randall's Island unless it goes by boat or over the Triborough Bridge by truck or over the 102nd Street footbridge, and nobody's going to propose that. So even in order to get to Randall's Island, you have to ship it somehow off some coast of Manhattan.
Well, that's true. And also, I think people have to recognize the reason that that marine transfer station is being retrofitted is there's been a marine transfer before the closure of Freshkills. There was a transfer station there that preceded Asphalt Green. So I think that's been one of the challenges. You've had a park coming after the siting of a facility there. So that's one of the challenges I think the community is facing.
David in the Bronx, you're on WNYC on parks. Hi, David.
Hey, how you doing? Nice to listen to you. You always got a nice voice.
Thank you.
You're welcome. She was talking about the parks and Central Park and all that. This fellow I read in the paper gave $82 million to Central Park because it was his favorite park. He grew up in it. So one would think that since Central Park has a grant of $82 million, that all the money that they had allocated for to fix up the Central Park, they could use that money for the outer boroughs, no?
What about that? It was a private donation to a private organization, the Central Park Conservancy. That's not the City Parks Department. But certainly we've gotten calls exactly like this before saying, come on, Conservancy, spread that wealth around. You have a responsibility to the city that you're in.
Well, that cuts really both ways. I mean, you know, if in fact someone gives directly to the Central Park Conservancy for Central Park, that's what their money has been given for. But what it does is create an opportunity for the city's parks dollars, because they aren't as needed for Central Park, to go to those parks that are in need. So I think that's probably the best way to approach it.
Rita in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Rita.
Oh, hi. Thanks so much for taking my call, and I love the show.
Thank you.
My question is, what about composting? London does it citywide, and I've been doing it at my farmer's market for a year now, and I have almost no garbage. I mean, it's so efficient.
And we didn't get to it last night, but Mayor Bloomberg is starting to push in this direction.
Absolutely. There's a tremendous amount of enthusiasm, I think, for composting. I think one of the challenges is where you do it. You know, there was a moment in time, actually, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, where they were pushing something as simple as leaf composting in parks, and there was community opposition. So I think part of this is an education program, both for individuals who are managing their own waste, but also for communities where composting is going to take place.
Another topic that got a fair amount of conversation, but that's not a sexy hot button, is retrofitting buildings to be more energy efficient. And frankly, Marcia, this is something that you taught me last week as I was prepping for this event. You provided me with a stat that 75% of the carbon emissions in the city come not from cars, not from power plants, but from buildings.
Exactly.
Why is that?
It's existing buildings because of all of the energy that's needed to heat and run the systems of buildings. And I think that, you know, the most innovative things that have happened in the Bloomberg administration have been legislation which is requiring more and more buildings to do audits of their buildings, retrofits of those buildings to bring down their CO2 emissions. Because the buildings, green new buildings, new green buildings are easy to build to green standards. But the bulk of the buildings that are existing today will be in existence 10, 15, 20, 30 years from now. So retrofitting them is critical.
And public advocate Bill de Blasio was strong on that topic. Here he is talking about it.
You're talking about building stock that in some cases goes back 60, 70 years, and the majority of cases 40, 50 years. So this is where there's a desperate need for retrofitting, and for folks who obviously are dealing with very tough conditions to begin with, this would be part of also providing real economic opportunity for them as well. But I think in terms of the balance of preservationism and energy efficiency, environmentalism, I think we've done some great things in this city of striking a balance where we respect the need to protect at least facades and pieces of what makes a building special. But in the end, look, with all due respect to John Catsimatidis, global warming is here and now. It's an incredible danger to this city and this planet. And we, being one of the great metropolitan areas of the earth, have to lead the way and have to aggressively approach retrofit in every way we can.
Bill de Blasio. Couple more phone calls real quick. Sean in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sean.
Hi, how are you, Brian?
Good.
Thank you for taking the call.
Right to the point. Our time is short. I'm sorry.
I literally had to pull over from laughing while driving at your guest's response to your question about, do you think there is a sort of a environmental racism or a disproportionate allocation of monies to parks? Like, will we see, you know, money go to a park in the South Bronx? And she starts talking about we need to look at the finance mechanism. Of course, there's a racism and a classism at work here. I mean, blighted neighborhoods, whether we're talking about police protection or schools or parks, are not going to get the money until two bedrooms start renting for $3,000 to $4,000 a month.
Huh. So, just briefly on this, from the city's purse strings perspective, do they spend the same amount per square foot of park everywhere in the city?
I can't answer that question. But in response to the caller, you know, I do believe that the city has a incredible commitment to ensure that parks in neighborhoods that are lower income and communities of color, their commitment to those parks, it should be extraordinary. And I think that funds should be diverted in ways that will support those parks because they're private dollars for the bigger parks.
And Claire in the Bronx, you're on the air. Hi, Claire.
Hi, Brian. I wanted to ask you what you thought of the big commotion over the Spectra pipeline that happened last night. I was in the audience.
Well, certainly there was a group there that was very interested in the question, which I asked. And we didn't dwell on fracking last night, for those of you who weren't there, though it's the first word on so many environmentalists' lips right now, because fracking is mostly not an issue under mayoral jurisdiction. But the mayor does have a say over fracking infrastructure, like the caller mentions, including natural gas pipelines that go under the city, and no one would rule out, no one among the candidates would rule out some pipelines that activists are working against, like the one known as Spectra that I gather goes through parts of Lower Manhattan and elsewhere. So, Marcia, this is an issue that the next mayor is going to have to confront. If fracking activists are working to stop it everywhere, then they're going to work at the pipeline level too.
Well, I mean, there are two issues here. One is natural gas, and the other is natural gas from fracking, which are not necessarily the same thing. I mean, there's a challenge in this city. A lot of the major environmental groups, as well as the environmental justice groups, have been very active in converting number 6 heating oil in buildings to natural gas because of the incredible air emissions problems of number 6. So you have to have enough natural gas in the city to convert those boilers. The question is, where does that come from? That takes you to pipelines.
The answer is that almost every kind of energy stinks one way or the other. It even takes a lot of energy to produce solar panels.
Absolutely.
So, all right, at the very end, as we were running out of time, just as a last thought, We got one more glimpse into the post-Bloomberg future. For all the contention over bicycle lanes in the city, mark this down, folks. All the candidates except Katsimatidis said they would like to see less traffic in Manhattan's business district during their term as mayor and to see more bicycle commuting. They all raised their hands for more bicycle commuting as a goal, even if they want to distance themselves from some of these lanes that have been put
Absolutely.
In.
Absolutely. And a number said they've signed up for bike share.
Yes. George McDonnell, Republican candidate, mentioned that by name. So I'm sure you as an environmentalist are encouraged. And that's where we leave it with our review of last night's Environmental Issues Mayoral Candidates Forum that I moderated, thanks to the invitation of the League of Conservation Voters and Cooper Union's Institute for Sustainable Design. League President Marcia Bistrin, thank you very much for coming in and talking through these with us.
And thank you for last night, Brian.
And listeners, you can find – let's see, do we have the full thing? If we don't, we will. We will post on our webpage the audio of the entire forum. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, coming up next – now that the religious identity of the Tsarnaev brothers is known, we'll take calls from Muslims today with your reaction. 212-433-WNYC. And we have a couple of great guests to talk about this with, too. Stay with us.